Hello, remote friends. The information from this podcast is rich with remote support, but it's even more important that you go from information to application to get the best results possible. Remote work is here to stay, and we want to help you on your way. So let us know how we can support you even more by visiting remotepathways.com. There you will find a quick link to talk with us directly. Reach out to Jen for all your teamwork, leadership, coaching, and facilitation needs. And reach out to Michelle for developing a healthy, sustainable rhythm of life through spiritual practices, 90-day projects, and simple structures to support your remote working journey. Until we connect, thank you for listening. It's such an honor going remote together with you.
Let's explore the remote world. Together we'll discover the people, places, and pathways to working remotely. We'll engage in great conversations, share tips and valuable resources, and connect you with voices from the field. Let's go remote together.
Good morning, Jen. Spring is in the air, and I'm so happy to be here with you today.
I'm hopeful that this spring is just going to be a new day every day moving forward. And we're excited. I'm excited today. It is back to a special guest episode. And we have with us today, Beth Below. So welcome to you, Beth.
Good morning. Hi, Jennifer. Hi, Michelle. So glad to be here.
Beth is a professional certified coach, podcaster, author, speaker, and facilitator with more than a decade of coaching and consulting experience. Prior to starting her own business, she was a nonprofit professional with roles ranging from fundraising to marketing to grant making. It was in a role as foundation program officer that she fully recognized the importance of collaborative models and the power of the coaching paradigm. She draws on a range of frameworks in her coaching and facilitation work, including mediation and conflict management, voice dialogue, appreciative inquiry, narrative coaching, nonviolent communication, improv, and the work of Parker Palmer, Edgar Schein, and other personal growth leaders. Her podcast, How Can I Say This, launched September 2018 and reaches an international audience of listeners. I have to say, Beth, it was great to be one of your guests late last year as we sat down to talk about virtual conversations. And I have had the privilege of knowing Beth professionally for several years, including during her time when she worked around her book of The Introvert Entrepreneur. So a big welcome to you, Beth. Great to have you here with us today at the Remote Pathways podcast.
I am so glad to be here. Yeah, thank you.
I always get excited when our guests come, and especially fellow coaches.
Yeah.
The coaching conversation. And thank you for taking the time to just invest in our listeners and bringing your voice to the virtual table. And we'd love to kick things off just with a seed of curiosity. What brought you to remote work, Beth?
Well, it's kind of funny because I don't know that I intentionally chose remote work, right? It kind of, it just happened, you know, as Jennifer shared, my background is in nonprofits, and those were all location-based, office-based gigs. And when I became a coach, I realized how much I valued location independence and being able to work from home, being able to work from anywhere. And the freedom that brought me. And I realized that was really aligned with one of my core values, if not my main core value, which is freedom. And so when I say, you know, it's like not something that I consciously created, it's just that was the model that aligned with who I was and what I wanted to do and the opportunities. Because the beautiful thing about coaching and even consulting is, of course, you can do it anywhere. And I feel like I was one of the not as early an adopter as Jennifer for things like for this. But, you know, I've been on Zoom now for, I don't know, 6 years at least, and have appreciated how much the tools that we have available now have made remote work that much richer. And, you know, you can just be more productive. And it's more satisfying. If I were still sitting on the phone all day with folks, I think that that would be a lot more, it would just be harder. It would just less connection. So that's a long way of saying, I think it found me more than me seeking out it, because it did end up being that model that really aligned with my personality as well as the work that I wanted to do.
And I just hear, even in that brief description, you know, your values coming out, how much you love the freedom and independence. Mm-hmm. You also talk around conversations and communication. So what do you notice in this virtual remote space in terms of dialogue? Because that showed up in your bio too. So talk a little bit about that.
So we've all been working remotely now for, you know, we're talking here in March 2021. We've been working remotely either by choice or not by choice for more than a year. And so I think people are adjusting to what it means to have conversations in a virtual space, especially with video. And I think they find it's a lot easier than they thought it was going to be. Like, they feel more connection. They're able to have rich and meaningful conversations, even if they're not in the same space. And I think with things like Zoom and other platforms, of course, you know, there's Teams and Skype and whatnot that allow us to have this video connection. But I think we're recognizing, you know, how much we rely on visual cues and how much we need body language. And even this, I think one of the things that almost has maybe perhaps even deepened some relationships. I just heard this the other day on a group call. They were saying, it's so cool to see everybody in their environment. And so I think that that brings another dimension of connection and humanity to the conversations. It gives us sort of another touch point and reference point for that person. Of course, I'm using this virtual background, so that doesn't really, you know, quite fit, right? Which maybe tells you something about me in my space, but even the kinds of virtual backgrounds that somebody might choose tells you a little bit something about them. So what I have found, I'll just say this really quickly, is that I do, when it comes to all virtual conversations aren't easy. And I'm not just talking like conflict. I'm even just talking about like how many people are in the room. Is there an agenda? How well do you know each other? You know, there are so many things that are true in real life about creating a space that are also true in a virtual world. And sometimes I think we don't honor it. We have different, there's a sort of different set of rules. And I don't think that the unspoken rules that we often have, or the understood agreements that we have when we're in person, haven't always translated over into the virtual world. At least I've not found that in social situations. I find it very challenging to socialize with more than like three people, for instance. In person, it's fine. Virtually, honestly, it drives me crazy.
Yeah, that's so fascinating, because I experienced the same. I can really bond there. Four is like, one to four people is my sweet spot. Beyond that, it's almost like I'm overstimulated or something.
Exactly.
I can't pay attention to all the faces. I prefer audio. Yeah. So that's very rich. And I was reading your website earlier today, and you were talking about how our lives speak. You know, mm-hmm. and I hear you bringing that here in the remote conversation, that even our background, or I love how you popped in Zoom today with their picture of your 3-year-old self. That was a great little touch. It brought so much joy before I even got to meet you.
Yeah, we have these new ways of being creative with how we are expressing ourselves. And I've seen some people like really, you know, leverage that, I guess, in terms of connecting. And it's been kind of fun to see. And I'm still looking forward to when we can talk in person, but I'm so appreciative that we've had this opportunity. And it's opened up, of course, people who never thought that they could be remote. All of a sudden, it's like, oh, this actually could work. And that's pretty cool.
It's interesting you mentioned that. There's some really interesting research out now around just how many offices will go back to in-person. You know, we're at a year into the pandemic. Many large and small organizations are saying, for cost savings, we're just going to let the office go, or we're going to significantly downsize. So you know, it's been months now that people have been talking about hybrid work, but
yes.
I think this has implications then to your point, Beth, of like, how do we connect people? How do we really, I like to talk about the six layers of connection. So connection to ourselves and the context, you've raised mm-hmm. both of those today, but also connection to what's happening around yeah. us. And so yeah. these are all doorways into the conversation. And I'm wondering, I'm going to jump ahead here a little bit, like, do you have a favorite remote adventure that might shed further light on what you love to do and why you do it?
Yeah. And so when you say that, mine is pretty simple, and it goes to that freedom of being able to be anywhere. I hope I'm tracking with maybe what you're looking for, but being able to work at our cabin. And I think, Jennifer, you can identify with that because you also have like an up north, right? And so being able to be in that space and be relaxed and, you know, go from 1 minute of sitting on the beach to being able to go up and sit in a room and have an hour call, have a client maybe, or a connection with someone, and then just being able to go back. And what I found is that it's not, I think I would fear that like work would start to invade my time. You know, I wouldn't be able to have boundaries. I wouldn't be able to enjoy the place that I was having that adventure as much. And I find that I actually still do. It's not an intrusion. It's just organic, I guess. And so I've really appreciated being able to have that kind of adventure on a fairly regular basis of being able to do that. And what's cool is now, you know, my husband works in a traditional office setting for the past year. He's been remote. Now we can both be remote and be up there, and it allows us to go up for 2 weeks instead of 3 days or, you know, something. So it opens up that kind of, and now we can talk about saying, well, you know, we can go someplace else even longer, and still keep ourselves tapped in, to what's going on. But give ourselves just some more. Yeah. I keep coming back to the word freedom, you know, giving ourselves more freedom than we would have had otherwise.
Well, it's the theme you started this conversation with, right? It's location independence. And I think yes. a lot of people are realizing, yeah, like it does afford so many opportunities while getting work done. And as long as, and you said it yourself, like as long as we have the boundaries, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
On what, when we're working, when we're not, and enjoying and showing mm-hmm. up for both in equal merit.
Yeah, I'm going to find it interesting. I've already seen these articles that are talking about how people are leaving bigger cities that they lived in because of work, and now they're moving out to more rural areas, or they're on the edges, or just locating to where they actually really want to live. And so it will be interesting to see how the pandemic and how this move to remote work starts to change the geography, the landscape, the demographics of these different communities, and people's boundaries, you know, the work-life boundaries. That will be really fascinating. And I'm sure you all will be talking a lot about that in the coming year.
Oh, yeah. I think, you know, for me, I keep an eye on like the economics of it all, right? Because that's what I did for many years. How do we create thriving communities? And this is a whole paradigm shift for so many. We can have economic bases that did not exist before because of remote work. Yes. And so, yeah, the location independence. So, Michelle, what are you thinking right now? Where do you want to take this conversation?
Well, I'm just noticing, I'm loving how values keep coming up, right? Whether mm-hmm. it's your adventure or why you enjoy this space or the opportunities. And I think that's been part of my things that I've enjoyed the most is seeing that light bulb moment come on for people that have maybe been curious about the remote space, didn't know how it worked. And mm-hmm. now they're seeing all the different opportunities and what's possible. And I loved how you mentioned even the different spaces, because I think I intentionally go to different spaces just for that different energy or different mm-hmm. type of conversation. I like that freedom and flexibility. And then you also mentioned, you know, our families. I think when I came over into the remote space, I didn't realize for a while that my team had expanded into my family, and it added another level of communication. Like you said, with that, those boundaries, communication had to be upped quite a bit.
Yes. And I have a don't to offer along those lines, because I'm thinking about, so my husband happens to do work that I am familiar with. You know, I'm sort of, we're partners, he's an executive director at a nonprofit, and, you know, I spent a lot of time in nonprofits and whatnot. So I speak the language, right? I have to be careful that I don't violate boundaries of like eavesdropping just a little bit and listening as he's having his Zoom meetings and his phone calls. There have actually been a couple of times when I'm like, I shout across the room, like, blah, blah, blah. And so I have to be careful that remote does not mean, no boundaries, or that there are, again, like there are some sort of new rules to set up. And I have to remind myself, like, I need to kind of pretend that he's at the office, because he really is, like, that the invisible office bubble, I guess. And just because he's sitting there, and even if he's just like, dialing into a conference or a webinar or something, that doesn't mean I can come up and interrupt.
So just because he's visible, he's not available.
Thank you.
Love it.
You just said exactly it in very succinct, beautiful language. And I think that that's one of those places where the communication and the agreements that you have with one another, if you're living with other people, and that could go for children with school, you know, other things like that. It's easy to forget that visible does not mean available.
Yeah. Powerful. That's good.
I had a situation with this with my son the other day, right? I was really excited. I was like, I jumped out into the hallway. Dad was like, Mom, I'm in school right now.
Exactly. Exactly.
It's really easy. So I love it. And Beth, any other tips that you'd want to suggest to our listeners? You talked about boundaries. You've also talked about the values, right? We keep coming back to that, but I think it's values has been a real anchor for folks. Is there anything else that's
useful? There's a couple of things. One kind of gets back to what Michelle was saying before about overstimulated. And this is something that I realized fairly early on in the pandemic, that even though I'd spent a lot of time on Zoom prior to this, all of a sudden that time was probably doubled, right? Because everybody was on Zoom now and the groups were getting bigger and bigger. And I realized, like, I'm exhausted. And this is such a simple tip, and maybe you've already shared this before, but this is coming from the introvert in me and the person that's on online, you know, a lot. I had to change things, like, okay, I'm talking Zoom, but I think most of the platforms have this capacity. I had to hide the gallery view. I had to hide the Hollywood squares and say, I just need to focus on the speaker. And when I did that, I found that my energy, I was much better able to focus and stay connected, because I was finding, especially when it was a learning environment, I just was not absorbing stuff, you know? And I mean, I think that there is like a neurological, you know, things that we experience electronically, we have less retention or less ability to focus than if it's analog as opposed to digital. But that was one thing that did make a difference for me. And so if the group does get too big, I go to that speaker view, and it helps a lot with keeping my energy and my focus. And then the other thing I've noticed is we lose transition time. When we're on Zoom, especially if we've got multiple meetings in a day, I try not to schedule things back to back, because I don't like going from one Zoom to another. So creating buffer zones, but not only the buffer zones of however much time is good for you, but stepping away from the computer in those buffer zones. Because when you think about it, my favorite story to share, where I realized first the importance of this, had nothing to do with actually being remote. It was in the real, you know, IRL, in real life. I was speaking at a conference, and it was far enough away that I had to drive. And so I stayed at the hotel where the conference was. And I wake up, I get ready. I'm not the type that turns on the radio or the TV or anything in the morning. It's just quiet. And so I didn't have any stimulation. I had no input as I was getting ready. And then it was early enough. I think I needed to be downstairs at 7:30 or something. So I'm walking through the hotel and going to the elevator. I didn't encounter anybody. I get off the elevator and I hadn't been to the space before. And I'm suddenly in the room with like 100 awake, caffeinated, chatty women who are just like ready to go. And I remember it was like, you know, somebody throws a bucket of water on you, right? And I had to sort of just like, okay, I'm just going to put my purse down, or, you know, I'm going to set my stuff down and go to the restroom and just kind of back up a little bit. And I realized like that was so shocking just because I had had no transition. You know, usually we're in the car and we're driving and we hear some radio or we talk to someone or we have some sort of warm up. And what I found is I'm going somewhere with this. It happens the same on Zoom. You know, it happens the same with these kinds of meetings. I don't think we think about the fact that we don't have any of this buffer between like I'm sitting at my dining room table and having my breakfast to jumping on a call with no, you know, sort of warm up, no transition, no time to sort of shift gears a little bit. So I found that it's important to kind of build in those buffers and whatever that looks or feels like to you. So that it's not, because even more so than attending an event in person, you are literally like, boom, dropping into interaction. And there's not, even when you're meeting somebody for coffee, you know, there's the set your stuff down. Oh, I'm going to go get a muffin. And then you come back, you know, and so you have time to ease into the space. And here we're just like, boom, flick a switch. So I think we need to find whatever works for us, ways to kind of recreate that sort of, recreate that transition time. So that we can, just be better grounded and centered for the conversations that we're having.
That speaker view thing was delightful. And you're sparking so much creativity, even in program design. When you were talking about those transition periods, I went into like storyboarding, right? So if I was storyboarding my remote day, you know, those transition slides, imagine it was a PowerPoint slide, right? You always have the gap between the different slides or the different modules that are coming in. And we need those in our lives as well. So,
Beth, you know, the research is catching up. There was some recent research from Stanford, and Stanford has found they have really validated that yes, Zoom fatigue is real. And they provided four tips. And one of those tips was hiding not only sometimes the gallery view, but the speaker view as well.
Yes. Because
some of us, right? It's like seeing ourselves on the screen all the time.
Yes.
It's also another energy drain. So
I
suspect, you know, we could keep on talking about this, but just notice the affinity and the similarity of all of these themes are showing up in everyone's world right now. So thank you for giving voice to, I think, things that people feel every day, especially as they're moving into their fifth or 10th Zoom meeting of the day. What a difference it would have to have that slide, like you mentioned, Michelle, or, you know, the pause to just acknowledge, hey, we're here today to do X. And that's something I've spent a lot of time talking about in recent years, but people have not seen the value. It's so important that we think intentionally about what's an environment you want to create and how are you signaling that to people?
Yeah. And as you're talking, Jennifer, I think back to what Michelle was saying so beautifully about available or visible does not mean available. And we were speaking of it as it pertains to somebody else, but I think we need to remember it for ourselves. Just because I'm visible doesn't mean I'm available. And I might be speaking mostly to parents, or, you know, it could be spouses or siblings or whatever. You know, we have to draw those boundaries for ourselves and say, just because I'm here doesn't mean that I can drop everything and go do this. Or even like, just because the dishwasher is visible doesn't mean that I'm available to it, you know, to draw these lines about what our focus is and where our energy is best spent in a moment. Because then I think we can also get into this guilt, like, oh, I have a break, I should be unloading the dishwasher. I should be doing this or that because we're home. You know, I'm assuming a homebound situation.
Most of my coaching landed when I first stepped into this space, when I was coaching others, is exactly what you said. Because it's like the temptation is, I'm home. I can get everything done so that I couldn't get before, and I'm saving on commute time. Yes, that's true. But,
So we have to be, I think that there's a measure of compassion and grace that we need to give ourselves and to adjust our expectations, that just because we're working remotely doesn't mean all of a sudden we're the Energizer Bunny and we can go around and do everything and tie up all the loose ends and be available to everyone all the time. Like, oh, great, I'm home. I can help with their homework or, you know, whatever it is. It's like, well, there's a yes and it might take some trial and error to figure out where those boundaries are.
Beth, I think this has been a brilliant episode. Thank you so much for joining us.
I'm already going to rewind and play again, and I imagine our listeners will too, because there were so many little valuable nuggets in there. So thank you, Beth, for bringing such wisdom and insight into the remote world, investing your time, and making yourself available. BethBelo.com. You can also find her on our show notes or our podcast guest page, where you'll have a direct link to connect with her. And is there anything that you're currently working on that you would like to invite our listeners to join you in?
Yeah, I think I would love it if you would check out my podcast. You know, you can get more in, you know, I talk about communication and conflict and how to have courageous conversations. I love alliteration, so I always say courageous conversations for community and connection. And the podcast is called How Can I Say This? Which gives you a little hint about, you know, the direction it goes. And it's often about like finding the words when they often escape us. So I'd love it if people would join in on that conversation. And you can find that both on my website and howcanisaythis.com.
Fantastic. Well, Beth, a pleasure to connect with you today. Do check out Beth's work. And Michelle, as always, really love our time that we get to spend here together on a remote road. Take care, everyone.